Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase one of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star Ballot is open. Vote up to five times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Radio you can touch.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Let me just turn around here. The Willard Garvey Crime Prevention Citizen Activist Award.
I like.
Jeff Lutz.
What crime are you preventing? Are you out there
nabbing bank robbers?
In real life, such ridiculous nonsense.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Welcome in, everybody, a Thursday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. I'm getting some, I'm hearing myself in my headset. We'll get that corrected. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz here, co-hosting the show until 7 o'clock. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm still hearing that mix minus, Max. He's on it. There, it's gone. No, it's still there. I'm hearing it. Are you hearing it, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm getting the feedback. What are you going to do?
You don't know. You don't know what you're going to do.
I know. I'm going to take my headset from around my neck and put it elsewhere.
Yeah. Coming up at 5:20 today, Jeff Calkins from the Memphian, longtime Memphis media guy. And, of course, I like to catch up on what's going on with the Memphis Tigers. Wichita State's opponent tonight in Memphis in an American Athletic Conference game. At 5:40, Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, will join us. K-State, a difficult loss last night. And we'll catch up with Tim Fitzgerald. And then coming up in an hour, number two picks with Jason Duda, all but having wrapped it up.
Doggone. I wish I could say I was broken up about that, but turns out I'm not. So good for him.
I got to keep my headset on because I got to kind of keep my headset on, but I'm still getting the mix minus.
I don't know what's going on.
I've had that before. Max has just cleared it right up.
He said it's not going on over there for whatever reason. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know that I can do 2 hours like this. Can I? There, it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you, Max.
You think he did anything or...
Yeah, I think he did something.
Okay.
KU last night kind of struggled at the beginning of the game. When I turned it over, they were down by 12, 10, 12. And as I was watching, TCU looked like maybe the worst team to ever lace them up. KU came back and won fairly handily against the – oh, they were awful. The shots that they missed, I've never seen a team miss shots that badly.
It's weird what's happened to TCU. Not that they're horrible.
They're
but
not horrible, but they were horrible in that stretch.
They used to be really, really good for a few years under Jamie Dixon.
You watch that game?
No, but I did hear a few minutes of the Jerome Tang pregame show.
Did you? Well, there you go.
For the K-State
game. You're really starting to develop an interest.
I'm amping it up.
No question. K-State, meanwhile, played its version of TCU. They led Baylor the whole way, man, and gave it up in the last 5 or 6 minutes. Lost that game on the road in Waco. And I'm sure Tim Fitzgerald will have some pointed thoughts about K-State basketball, which has kind of fallen off the face of the earth now.
I think he's kind of resigned to that. From everything that I've seen from Fitz, I watch his daily videos quite often.
You do?
It's been a few days since I've watched, but it seems like, you know.
Do I need to do a daily video? Would you watch it?
I don't know, maybe. He's got a bunch of subscribers, though. Do you think you'd have any?
Well, Bernie Miklas, our friend from St. Louis, does one on YouTube. And I've gotten into the habit now where I go up to bed around 9 o'clock and I turn on Bernie's video for the day.
On your phone?
Yeah.
What would your daily...
You know,
daily...
that's not a bad way to do things.
What would your daily video be about?
Oh, I'd talk about, you know, Shocker basketball. I'd
yeah, but you don't have any access. Tim Fitzgerald and Bernie Miklas
Bernie
have...
Bernie doesn't really have access to the Cardinals anymore. I could get access.
I suppose, but I don't know that you would.
I don't know that I would either.
You can make an effort.
What about a Memories of a Sports Writer video?
Wonderful.
Could I carry that? Could I sustain that?
No.
Why do you say that?
Because these guys have been doing it for years and years, and this is...
What have I been doing?
They're live, not videos.
Bernie Miklas has been doing videos for years and years.
Hasn't he?
No.
Well?
He came up in the newspaper ranks, just like Tim Fitzgerald, and just like I did.
Whatever. They've been doing it longer than you would be able to. Is that good enough for you?
No, that doesn't make any sense.
I don't think you could do it
Bernie
every day.
Bernie just started doing videos 3 months ago.
I don't think you could do it for 3 months.
Well, thanks a lot.
Well, prove me wrong.
Why?
Prove me wrong.
Why don't you think that? I just want to know.
I don't think you'll take the first step of doing one. So to do 90? No, I don't think that's quite.
Well, I'd have to write down a bunch of topics. Would you tune in to hear me talk about the Wichita Heights basketball team of 1977?
Sure, but who else would?
Maybe some people would.
Nobody in New Mexico. Nobody in Portland or Hartford.
No, that's the advantage they have. They have people who follow the Cardinals and follow K-State from all over the country.
Exactly. They have a built-in base.
There are people from all over the country who follow Wichita State.
Not much anymore.
Please. That of course there are.
All over the country?
All over the yes.
Who really have a vested interest.
Did you not notice that whenever Wichita State goes to play on the road somewhere, they always have a good contingent? Now, some of those people they take on their charter.
Right.
But a lot of them are in those cities, and they organize Shocker alumni. Tonight in Memphis, you'll see a good number of people behind the Wichita State bench. Not like it was 10 years ago, but you'll see a decent number of people, and those will all have been organized by Shocker alumni.
Do you think if you're hopping on a team charter to go watch any college basketball team, that maybe you have too much money, that maybe there's something else you could be doing?
It's not that they get paid money to do that. They're invited to do that. Because they donate to the athletic department.
So they don't have to pay to get on the flight.
If they do, I don't know how much. They have to pay for their room and board, but I don't know that they have to pay to be on the flight. I think that's a courtesy extended to them because of their support of the athletic department.
Well, same diff then, I guess.
So if you support an athletic department,
no, I'm just
you
saying.
Got too much money?
If,
what are you saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you support enough to take the charter, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. You know, you always come across, you think you have a good point.
I do.
And then you sound like a moron.
No, I don't.
So nobody should support their
That's not what I said.
Athletic department?
When did I say that?
Well, but what are you
saying? No, I'm not necessarily saying that, but I don't really understand it. Like, what would if I gave the Cleveland Guardians money? What's
well, they're a professional sports.
Okay,
brand.
If I gave Wichita State money, what's the return on my investment there?
Being a fan, being supportive of the program, the okay. perks that come with that, getting on a charter to go to Memphis and watch a basketball game.
So you're nothing really, essentially, is what you're saying.
No, I didn't say that at all.
Well, I'm not going to make my money back. I don't know. Just okay, I guess.
Are you the tightest person who ever lived?
No, I'm not, actually.
It seems like you are.
I don't care what it seems like.
You give because you want to support. Yeah, most of the people who give substantially to Wichita State or Kansas or whomever, whatever university, yeah, they have a decent amount of money. But a lot of people just give $100.
Well, good for them.
$200 or whatever they can give.
Well, that's very nice of them, and I commend them and applaud them for that.
Right. People like to support things.
Absolutely they do.
League 42 is a nonprofit. We get support. Did you decry that?
No, not really.
Do people who support us have too much money?
I don't know. I'd have to ask them individually if they did. Why are you being...
Because this topic, I'm very close to this topic.
Why are you being so confrontational?
Because
I didn't say a word about League 42. Calm down.
Well, you did say, why would anyone support their college?
No, I didn't. I just said, what's my return on the investment there?
That's why do you need a return? Well, why can't you just do it because you support your university?
Absolutely.
I've given money to Wichita State, to the liberal arts department in the past. I haven't for
okay,
a while.
Okay, well, I don't feel as strongly about this as you do, so I don't know what you want me
but
to say.
You opened it up. You opened
yeah,
a can
I
of
opened it up with a little banter, a little, here's a little salvo I'm throwing, and now I got to act like, oh, I'm more passionate about this than anything. Eh.
I am pretty passionate about
it. No, I got to act like that to match you, and I don't. I'm not.
Philanthropy is a big part of being a citizen, right?
Absolutely.
You find a cause you believe in, you help them out. I gave online, I gave some money to the Humane Society the other day.
It's very nice
not
of you.
Not a ton of money, but, you know, just a little money.
Good.
That's
congratulations.
What people normally do. Normal people do that.
Awesome.
They don't have to have a lot of money.
Cool.
I also gave a little money, not very little.
Well, are we going to throw a ticker tape parade down
no,
West Street for
we're
you?
We're not, but I gave some money to Wikipedia, believe it or not.
How about that?
Because I use that website often, and, you know, every once in a while they'll say, hey, we need a little money to continue to survive and flourish. $15. Good.
There you have it. You good?
I'll come at you,
get
man.
Do you get everything out of your system there?
There was nothing in my system.
Oh, there was a lot in your
but
system.
But I really, really believe philanthropy is important and supporting things you believe in.
Absolutely, and I did not ever say that it wasn't.
Well, you apparently don't want the people to fly to Memphis.
And I hope they have a good flight.
If you're in Memphis, no, they're already there. If you're in Memphis right now, and you're a Shocker fan, and you're getting ready to watch the game tonight at the FedEx Forum. Is that the name of their building?
Probably.
Have fun.
Absolutely. Enjoy it. You only live once. This opportunity may never come along again. It's going to be a fun one. It's televised nationally. It's a big one. Oh, live it up. That's where I'm at.
Have you given money in the past?
Of course I have.
I'd love to know to whom.
Okay, well, you're not gonna, so.
So you have?
Of course.
Well, that's good. Proud of you for that.
I enjoy it, but I don't need to broadcast it, literally or figuratively.
I didn't broadcast it. I just gave you a couple examples of a guy that doesn't have a lot of money, giving not a lot of money to a few things I support.
Who needs some money?
That's all.
Yeah, I feel you.
It makes me feel good to support the Humane Society.
Good. I still need to go and volunteer over there.
Yeah, that
got to find that in my schedule.
I count that as a no-show.
Well, no. I just need to figure out the time frame.
Well, good.
Because once you sign up, they get back with you like immediately, and then I don't know. I got to find out when I can commit to that.
Oh, you already signed up?
No, I will sign up. But I'm saying once you sign up, it's like they're not going to be like, oh, well, we have this time in May that you can do. It's like immediately. So I have to figure out when I can commit.
Well, I can say unequivocally that every animal over there deserves your attention.
I have a lot of animals of my own that get a lot of attention.
Hopefully that'll happen. Max, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Jeff Calkins from the Memphian in Memphis, Tennessee. Tigers, Shockers tonight. I don't know how much we're anticipating the game, but it's always fun to watch. This should be such a great rivalry. These should be the two highlight teams in the American Athletic Conference.
The torch bearers of the American.
Yeah, maybe someday that will be the case. Back in a minute.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase 1 of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star Ballot is open. Vote up to 5 times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, one and done, the musical theme. These bands had big hits and then not a whole lot else. Take On Me from A-ha. Here's Jeff Calkins from the Memphian in Memphis, Tennessee, longtime member of the media there in Memphis. Jeff, hello, welcome.
Good to be back. How are you?
Yeah, so every year I like to check in on what's going on with the Memphis Tigers. They play at home tonight against Wichita State, so that's mm-hmm. the timeliness of this interview. I'm curious, Jeff, as you know, I've asked you this in the past, where Memphis is, where their brain trust is, what they're thinking about their current state, being in the American Athletic Conference, which frankly isn't having a very good basketball year.
Right.
What's Memphis's thought pattern right now?
Oh, I think it's probably much as it always is, which is, you know, Memphis is a school that would love to be somewhere else. I mean, it's just the reality, right? But they actually were part of the, you know, this idea, were they going to go to this new Mountain West in the fall? Like, that was the, you know, the new PAC, the I guess what they're going to call it, what are they calling it, the PAC. It was at some point the PAC 2, and they were being recruited to join that, and they just didn't see it as a viable option, partly because the TV deal is uncertain, partly because the travel was so crazy. And so they, you know, they elected to stay in the American, and I don't think it ever was close, honestly, from the administration's perspective. From the fans' perspective, I think there was some intrigue because, honestly, people are just sort of fed up with it. You're in a position now in the conference where if you're Memphis, and Memphis at this point is ranked and you know, on bracketology is five seed and whatever else, they play a series of games that winning them does no good. There's not a single game left on the schedule where a win would enhance your resume. And every loss is devastating. And that's a weird way to watch a basketball game. You should, when you're watching basketball, there should be a balance of joy and agony. Joy if you win, agony if you lose. Now, you know, like Memphis just beat Charlotte Sunday. And, you know, only bad things could have happened in that game. They ended up winning. But if you lose, it's cataclysmic. If you aspire to be a, you know, not, you know, to have a top five seed, for example. And so it's a dismal situation to be in, given the state of the basketball conference. But you can't just, you know, wave a wand and, you know, pop over to the SEC or something. That's not how it works. So in the end, they say the same thing all the time. You know, we have to do the best we can with where we are. And that's the best way to improve our situation, whether we stay where we are or whether we end up going somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't know if these two things are necessarily connected, but does an expanded college football playoff give Memphis a chance to grow their cachet to where they'd be more attractive to a Power Four conference if they win a few American Conference titles and sneak into the 12-team CFP and maybe get a little bit more national notoriety? I assume that can't hurt, but does it help?
No. I think it helps for a couple of reasons. A, it just helps that it a football season is more intriguing when there's the possibility that you could, you know, be the team that sneaks in, right? And so if you can be Boise and get in, and, you know, they ended up, you know, hosting a game. But, I mean, they ended up getting the bye. But if you can sneak in, that's great. It makes the season more intriguing. The truth of the matter is there were high hopes for Memphis football that it would do that this year. And in the end, they didn't do that. They didn't even make the conference championship game. So it's incumbent on them to under Ryan Silverfield, they haven't yet gotten to a conference championship, much less won a conference title. So I do think it's more fun on its own. I think it's enhanced the world of college football with the expanded playoff. And yes, you look at it, what was Cincinnati's ticket, right, to get into a better conference? Well, they became a football power in the American, and that very clearly enhanced their resume. So sure, I think that's the goal. And the other thing you see is that it's funny how NIL has changed everything. But, you know, you have all these schools complaining about, you know, that you're being outspent by other people. At least in the small fishbowl that is the American, Memphis outspends other people. You had Trent Dilfer, the coach at UAB, the other day, publicly complaining about two schools in the American. He didn't name them. Two schools in the American that pay guys that he would like to have, that pay them to come be backups. Well, he's talking, one of the schools he's certainly talking about is Memphis. So it's sort of interesting to be one of the haves, at least in the world of the conference. But it also removes any excuse for not dominating. You know, Memphis has not done, given its history and its resources, both the basketball and the football programs should have done better than they have done over the last few years, because it is very clearly one of the richest schools in the American.
Jeff Calkins with us from the Memphian. As I said before, I think you came on with us. This game tonight, Memphis-Wichita State. Of course, I've been in Wichita for a long, long time. Yeah. You've been in Memphis. Wichita State should be the marquee game in the American. Wichita State certainly not upholding its end of that bargain.
Right.
How important is it for some of these schools, if Memphis is going to be in the American for a while, why can't Wichita State, why can't UAB, why can't Temple, why can't some of these schools elevate themselves?
No, I think it's been discouraging, you know, and you get schools that do turn into, you know, I mean, Houston obviously was a power when they were in the American, and then now they're gone. Florida Atlantic was briefly a blip, right? It felt like that obviously was not sustainable. But it is interesting because we were talking about one of the issues with Memphis has been, are they motivated every night, right? And it is true with Wichita State. We were talking about this on my radio show today. The season has not been what it should be. The program has not been what it should be. But it still has some shine to the name. You know, you might have a hard time getting up for East Carolina or North Texas, although North Texas is decent, or Charlotte or whatever. But Memphis, I do think, will be focused again with Wichita State because the brand is still there, right? I think there's a bunch of reasons, honestly. Obviously, you got Kobe Rogers playing his old team. You got the fact that Wichita State beat him, knocked him out last year. And then you got the fact that Wichita State, even though they're not playing up to the program standards, it does still have some cachet to it. There's a little extra zip when it comes to Wichita State, and I think that will focus the mind. But there's no question. I mean, I remember when Wichita State first joined the conference, you're like, this is going to lift the profile of the entire conference. And instead, you're exactly right. It's been unfortunate that they haven't held up their end of things.
How does this Memphis team compare to some of the Penny Hardaway teams of the past? They've done a really good job kind of rating the rest of the American Conference of their better players to build a roster. And, I mean, that's fine with me. But I don't know, is the top-level talent there the way maybe it used to be?
Well, it's a funny thing because Penny has transformed completely. You know, he came in the sort of one – when he got here – the NIL wasn't a thing. It was still, you know, one and done players. And so, you know, he'd go get Amani Bates and Jalen Duren and like James Wiseman once a time briefly. And so there was he had number one recruiting classes based in the old world with high school, you know, players. And then he changed. And so last year he had a whole bunch of, talented, at least ostensibly, talented players who completely imploded, hated each other. He didn't particularly care for them. They didn't guard. They were just like the the most expensive item in the store. You buy it, not thinking about how well it fits with everything else. So this year, it's a bunch of players. You know, PJ Haggerty's probably as good a player. He's not as good a pro prospect, but he's good a college basketball player as Penny has had. He's been just tremendous, honestly. And Tyrese Hunt, a really good college basketball player. Not the same kind of, you don't see these guys in mock drafts, but what they are is deeply experienced college basketball players. And maybe, you know, that's the new formula. So, And the other the big difference is they don't seem to hate each other, and they do seem to play for each other. And so, you know, last year they had a pretty darn good non-conference season, and then they absolutely imploded in the conference season. This year they had a tremendous non-conference season, which I think surprised people, beating UConn and beating Michigan State and on and on. And then they've hung in there. Now they haven't played as well. Once you've gotten to the conference schedule, they have some very clear vulnerabilities. They're not a good rebounding team, and they turn the ball over. But they guard, they shoot well, and they have three guards in Haggerty, Hunter, and Rogers who are, I don't know that they're the best three in the country, But if you if you're going to say what are the 20 best backcourts in the country, they're in there. And so, you know, from that perspective, they're a very good American Conference team, it strikes me, American Athletic Conference team. But no, they don't have the high-end NBA-level talent that, that Penny had in his early years.
You mentioned Haggerty, who is, man, what a dynamite scorer he is, especially. He's been at TCU. He was at Tulsa last year where he really came on the stage. And then he came, of course, this year to Memphis. And we know how transfer portal and NIL and all that stuff, you and I have been around a long time. I feel so bad every time I hear him mentioned. I feel bad for Tulsa instead of my joy for Memphis.
Right.
It's a strange world.
Oh no. And it is funny. Like Memphis football just concluded their season and they have a quarterback in Seth Hennigan who played here all 4 years, started 4 years. That will never happen again, you know. Heck, you look back at the, you know, some of the glory days in Memphis football. D'Angelo Williams was just a magnificent running back for the Memphis Tigers who stayed 4 years. He would have a freshman year now at Memphis, and he would be off to Ohio State the next day, you know. It's why I think in the end, if you're going to do it, I think ultimately you're going to need to call them employees and have contracts. I mean, the truth of the matter is, I mean, I think everyone acknowledges it's an unacceptable system. They just don't know how to fix it. But like right now, it would be devastating for the Memphis Grizzlies if Ja Morant could just decide, you know what, I'd rather go be somewhere else. But he can't because he has a contract. That's what stops it from happening. But, you know, every other sport, there's not unbridled free agency because people have contracts. And if you don't have contracts, and I don't just mean endorsement contracts with NIL suppliers, but if you don't have contracts and the courts have made it very clear that you don't have the right to otherwise restrict the movement of athletes, I don't see how there is a way out of this without, you know, ultimately concluding whether people like it or not, that there are employees who sign employment deals and it can be a 2-year deal or it can be a 3-year deal or it can be at least a 1-year deal where a player won't have to, you know, won't decide after week 3 that they've been demoted to a backup. And so they're going to, you know, get the heck out of here. I mean, it is disastrous from that perspective.
All right, Jeff, we always enjoy our visits. Thank you for coming on the show and we'll catch up with you at a later date.
I look forward to being on. Hope you folks are well. Thanks.
Thanks.
Take care. Jeff Calkins from the Memphian. As we, I'm drawn to that program because we go way back here in Wichita with Memphis, formerly two members of the Missouri Valley Conference.
That's correct.
And Memphis had some incredible teams in that era as well. Can you name the two superstar All-Americans for the Memphis Tigers called Memphis State in those days?
Sure can't.
70s. Larry Finch and Larry Keenan. Those were their guys.
All right. Can you name? I don't know. They had Penny Hardaway.
That's a little later.
It was still Memphis State, though.
Yeah. Well, yes, but those were the guys that were the big superstars of that era.
How come you're seeing all these, like, Memphis States, Memphis, UNC Charlotte, Charlotte, UMKC's Kansas City? Why aren't we Wichita?
Branding. We used to be Wichita.
I know. Why aren't we now?
I don't know. We'll have to ask Kevin Saul that the next time we have him on.
If that has been a consideration.
That could be a Board of Regents thing.
Maybe so.
I don't know the intricacies of that. I know that in my early life, it was the University of Wichita.
Was it through like the mid-60s?
Yes, sir.
Like the first... I don't know.
Wichita State came to be in around 1967, 66.
Well, I don't know if
in
it's,
that era.
I don't know if it's accurate, but when I was looking up the 64, 65 team and Dave Stallworth's stats, his first 2 years said Wichita, and then 64, 65 said Wichita State.
Maybe that's the year they changed.
Maybe.
I know that on their uniform it just had Wichita.
That'd be cool if it was that now.
And that uniform, and boy, you're making me go back. You're making me think of things. They came out with the, they didn't have warm-up pants in those days. But when they came out of that tunnel, you know the tunnel I'm talking about.
Not I do.
The one the Shockers come out of now. The tunnel that both teams use.
The mid-tunnel.
They had a little what do you call it, on their backs. A little fabric with their names on that.
A little stitching. Little.
And it was always exciting when the Shockers came out of that tunnel.
Absolutely.
Here is Tim Fitzgerald. GoPowerCat.com as we talk some K-State sports. And, boy, it's been a little dour with Fitz here. at least with men's basketball. We'll get to the women's team here in a moment. But they, I thought they had that one last night down in Waco against Baylor. They led all the way. They're winning. Everything's looking pretty good and couldn't seal the deal, Fitz.
No, they're not good enough. I mean, they're getting there. They're beginning to understand who they are and what they need to be. But will that add up to enough to win games? Well, I mean, they all but had that one won. They were up by 12 in the second half and end up losing by 8 after just getting buried in the final 10 minutes of the game and hardly scoring in the final 5. And this has been a symptom that's been reoccurring for this team, fading at the wire. And it's not been like other Jerome Tang teams, so it seems to be this group. But they're getting there. They have some opportunities here at home coming up, and then they start running that gauntlet in this conference as you're going to – everyone hits once in a while, and KU, Arizona, and others just all lined up waiting for them.
So when you say that they're figuring out who they are and where they want to be or what they want to be, does that mean they haven't quite figured those out yet, or does that mean they have figured it out and they just haven't yet achieved it?
Yeah, I think it's that. They know what they need to do now. They're not to the point where they can perpetuate it for big enough segments of the game, whether it's the start at Kansas that was so disastrous or the finish at Baylor that was so disastrous. In this conference, 30 minutes of excellent basketball means you lose. And if you play really well and you don't finish and you don't play a more complete game, you're going to lose. And they just aren't good enough, put together enough at this point to get it done.
Tim Fitzgerald with us from GoPowerCat.com. Frequent guest on the show. You know that if you listen to the Bob and Jeff show. We had a debate earlier about philanthropy and why people support their alma mater, and Jeff just couldn't understand it.
This isn't a fair representation of that at all.
Well, it's sort of fair. So I'm thinking to myself now, here we are in the year 2025, and everything's changed about college athletics. You see these teams, you mentioned that these guys are figuring it out, but probably once they figure it out, who knows how many of them will hit the transfer portal after the year, and we may see mostly a new roster next year, and when will they figure it out? How does that fit with philanthropy and supporting your athletic department financially? Because if I'm a fan, I'm not sure that I feel the same way. I'm not sure that I want to open up the checkbook. The way maybe I did last year or the year before. I don't know what I'm really trying to say, Fitz, but I don't know. This is turning me off. What do you think?
Yeah, I think a lot of fans are that way. But I also think we need to understand the different subsets of fans. There's those who, you know, donate regularly and aren't, you know, the big guns, but, you know, they buy seat licenses. They up their Ahern donations in the case of Kansas State's fund. They have better seats. They might sit at courtside seats in Bramlage Coliseum, but they're not the influencers. You know, they've just got enough money or access to, you know, maybe corporate money to make it fun for them. And I can see those people saying, yeah, you know, I enjoy K-State basketball, and I think it's basketball right now that is what's happened in basketball has been more dramatic than football. Because you can buy an entire roster in a year, and it's disgusting, and it's not working. And I think people are losing their connection to the players and, in turn, the university, that the players have always been their conduit. And when they're here for a year and gone and here for a year and gone, that conduit isn't very sturdy. Now, the other side of that is the really wealthy who have names on stuff and can – or maybe they don't want that, but they can use their money for influence. I think they feel like I can be part of my alma mater winning something significant. I can buy the players that will get us there. That might work in football. I think Ohio State just proved it can work in football. But you can't do it in basketball and lose your locker room and kind of never have a culture carrying over from year to year. It's just too hard to craft that year in and year out. Sometimes these parts you bring in from the portal won't fit together. They fit together in his first year, not so much in their second year. And the third year in which we thought they were really talented, it ain't working. Not at least at the level anyone expected. So I see it. And then the third group, of course, is the people more like us. We can't afford the tickets hardly. And, you know, a lot of people, a vast majority of fans are watching from home, or they do save up to go to games and be in the parking lot, but they're in no way influencing anyone with their money. And I think this erodes their passion in some ways to see teams get purchased, you know, for the talent, and now those student athletes are making a lot more than they do to play the game, and they're not even as invested as the fan who doesn't make that kind of money. So there's just a lot of moving parts here that are not working in cohesion in any way.
In your experience with these athletes who are making decent sums of money, is there such a thing as NIL, or are we just handing money to play? Do you know of any players who have actually, I'm going to perform a task or do a job, or is it just I'm playing and that's it?
Yeah, a lot of that's going on, and that was never the spirit of what the courts ruled. You can profit from your name, image, and likeness, but they didn't endorse professional athletics. And I think the NCAA's actions in not having action, their inaction, has caused all this by not enforcing any kind of guidelines here. We've just got into buying players, and I'm a big fan of the NIL. I like the fact that someone like Avery Johnson, who has influence over fans that people like, can, you know, go to a car dealership and get a vehicle and do commercials for them and do other stuff for them. That's what NIL is supposed to be. And a lot of student athletes have that. But I think we know now that a majority of them are just getting paid to play a sport. And I think we're about to find out the differences between being committed to your alma mater and cheering for the teams and being a fan of a professional franchise, because that's where college athletics seems to be heading, and hopefully someone will steer it off that course.
Let's hope so. Tim Fitzgerald is our guest from GoPowerCat.com. We're talking all things K-State sports, and let's get to something that's very positive, been a lot of fun. The program that Jeff Mitty has built on the women's basketball side, they are 19-1. They play at Colorado coming up Saturday. Now, they've had a key injury, but welcome to the repetition here. Ioka Lee is currently sidelined, having another very good year. But it looks to me, Fitz, last year they kind of collapsed a little bit when she got injured. It looks to me, on the outside looking in, that this team has better depth. Are they more able to withstand this injury?
Yeah, they are. They really do have better depth. Got more tools, more players that can take over a game in her absence. And she's played significantly less this season in terms of minutes. Her workload was down as they tried to preserve her, and you know that didn't quite work out because she did suffer another, I believe, foot injury. They think she'll be back this season, which is good. She came back last year, and the team was never quite the same as they were before her injury. But the difference this year isn't just the talent. It's the fact that they've played. She's been, you know, around 20 minutes a game, so they played almost half of every game without her and have been really good. So they know how to play without her and at a level that they didn't last year. And they've just got more answers, people that can do more things. And they use the portal to go get a score, go get some depth behind Ioka. And I think it's going to really pay off this team. I don't see them dropping off a lot. But it's a lot easier to win games when you got a dominant post player that has incredible fundamentals and can score at ease and pass and rebound. That's true of men's basketball, women's basketball, and probably your local youth league. If you got someone dominant in the middle, you're going to win games.
What's the attendance like between the men and the men's and women's team? How do they compare?
Well, it's been fairly comparable until recently, but it's also hard to tell right now because the students are just now arriving back. They'll be back for that Saturday game. And the women tend to draw more from the community. Students also. Students will go there, but, you know, really, the men's games are alumni from, you know, drivable distance and a lot of students. And these games, a lot of families bring their kids, a lot of older citizens, seasoned citizens go to these games. It costs less. And I don't want to say family friendly. That's not exactly what I mean. But there's something about the way these women play basketball that is refreshing to us olds. They use something in their games called fundamentals. I don't know if some of these male players have heard of it, but it's how you learn to dribble, pass, and, you know, share the ball, and those things that work as a team. And you don't just worry about your points and how much NIL you're getting. So women's basketball, and particularly high-level women's basketball like this, is really enjoyable to watch.
All right, Tim Fitzgerald, we appreciate it very much. We'll catch up with you soon. Thank you for being on.
Okay, boys. Thanks. Good to hear from you.
Thanks.
There you go, Tim Fitzgerald, go powercat.com as we visit about K-State athletics.
So what we do?
Well, we do it when we have Fitz on.
And occasionally other times.
Occasionally.
I told you I heard some of that pregame shows. Riveting.
Why were you listening to that?
I went to the Y at around 7 last night.
Are you going to mention that every time you're on the show?
But I, you asked.
So. I think I have a bet with a friend of mine that you'll mention it once per show.
Well, you're going to lose that bet. Unless he said I would.
Those kind of guys, those people, the New Year's resolution people. That's you. All right,
whatever
an hour
you say,
to
man.
Go. We'll make some picks coming up in hour number two. Jason Duda has sent in his picks. He doesn't even want to bother with us anymore. He's so far ahead.
Sure.
Back in a minute.
Radio you can touch.
No logic, no reason, no explanation. Just a prolonged nightmare.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
What is it about community? Is it about, oh, this is something we can all do together? Doesn't every good time need a little dose of reality?
I like where this is going. Giggity, giggity, giggity.
Jeff Lutz.
You're a rain on the parade guy. Straight grumpiness.
What is it about me?
You're flying the ointment. Everybody understands that.
Hashtag burn. Hashtag duck tie slam.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
All right, welcome back. Hour number two here, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, co-hosting. Max Power is our producer and our engineer. And we are here on a Thursday. Congratulations to the new Hall of Fame and the Hall of Fame inductees into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Highlighting that trio is Ichiro. And I go to baseballreference.com. Fairly regularly,
of course.
Especially when I'm curious about a player and his stats. But I just look at Ichiro and I'm just in awe of how good a hitter he was in his career. This guy had 200 hits or more,
like 11 years in a row,
10 years in a row, from 2001 to 2010, then fell off to 184 hits.
When he was like 36.
He had 262 hits in 2004, a record, when he batted 372 and had just unbelievable. We'll never see anybody like him again, I don't believe. And what in the world? How did he do it?
I thought you were going to say, how did one idiot not vote for him?
Well, I'm over that. Listen, more than one idiot didn't vote for Mickey Mantle or Willie May. This stuff, we blow this up. Who cares? He's in nearly unanimously.
I know, but come on, dude.
You can say that about so many players.
Understood, but that we don't have to We don't have to justify it that way. We don't need to relitigate what happened 60 years ago by saying, oh, well, Mickey Mantle didn't get in unanimous.
I'm not even dealing with it. He's in. He made a quip today at the Hall of Fame press conference that he'd like to have that one voter come over and hang out with him for a while. It was funny.
Sure.
You know, you see Ichiro, and you're just taken aback at not only he's just a pleasant guy.
Seems to be.
Funny guy.
Was he speaking at that?
Yes.
Rich Eisen said it was his interpreter, and
it may have been his interpreter.
Like, I thought he spoke pretty good English,
but
I don't know.
He does speak very English very well.
That's what I thought. I don't know how he did it. There's no explanation. If I knew, I would sell it. I would sell that formula, and other guys get it 370 or whatever. He's one of a kind.
Well, remember, he played in Japan and didn't come to the Major League Baseball until he was 27.
Right.
And he's the all-time hits leader. You take his 3,089 hits here with his 1,300 or 1,400 hits that he had in Japan, and nobody's ever had more hits. He played 27 years at the highest level.
Yeah, I don't think there's – I hope – I mean, I don't know. It's – I don't know if in the earlier years when he was in Japan in the early and mid-90s, I guess, probably more mid-90s, that he would have been a major league player. But if – you know, he would have certainly threatened 4,000 hits had he been in the major leagues for his entire career.
Well, he got to Seattle in 2001, right?
Right.
First year. Was MVP and Rookie of the Year.
Correct. Who's the only other?
56 bases, hit 350, had 242 hits.
Pretty solid.
What were you starting to say?
Who was the only other person to be?
I don't know. Who was it?
Fred Lynn.
Fred Lynn?
Yeah, Rookie of the Year and
that's
MVP.
Right. 75. If I'd thought about that for a little bit, I might have thought about it. Come up with it.
And here's the other stat that's going around. I think everybody's heard it by this point. Ichiro got a hit, his third career hit in his 10th at bat, and never dropped below 300 for the rest of his career.
Yeah, I heard that.
It's crazy.
Batted 311 in the major leagues, which seems low, but he did hang on a little long.
He played till he was 45.
He did, and he maybe shouldn't have. Those last few years were a little tough, but in 2016
okay.
With Miami, he played for Miami. Remember that?
I do.
That's that's almost unreal.
Strange.
In 2016 with the Marlins at the age of 42, he batted 291, which isn't bad. I mean, you know, that'll work.
Yeah, he still looks like he could play a little bit. Obviously, he probably couldn't. I don't know that he hit 250.
He
but
threw out a first pitch after his – I can't – you may have to help me on this one. He was asked to come back and throw out a first pitch somewhere.
Right.
And he threw it over 90 miles an hour.
Did he?
Yes.
Felt like that was like urban legend.
No. I'm going to stick with it.
All right.
Go look for it.
I know. I heard like he threw 93, but I don't know if I don't know if I believe it.
I think it was at Yankee Stadium. But I could be wrong. He did play with the Yankees briefly. That was also surreal. And batted 322 in 67 games with the Yankees in 2012.
Yeah, it says in 2022, it said 94, but it was clocked at 84.5, according to StatCast, which is still pretty darn good.
That's harder than you ever threw.
Correct.
Now, I was up a little above that.
You were not.
Well, back in my good years.
No, you were not. You
why
never,
are you saying
you
that?
You did not throw 85 miles an hour.
Why are you saying that?
Because I you didn't.
Well, you never saw me.
But I know. If you were throwing 85, you would have been a Division I pitcher somewhere.
Well, I was recruited.
By a low-level JUCO.
Not low-level.
Very low-level. One of the lowest levels.
Not at that time.
Concordia was good, or wherever you went. Cloud County.
Yeah, they were good.
Shit.
What about Garden City?
Not that good.
Did you ever have an offer from them?
Why didn't I? I still don't get it.
That's going to bother you forever, isn't it?
But why didn't somebody just say...
Is that going to bother you for...
I was an all-city player.
Look how I get you with this.
But I wouldn't have gone. I didn't want to play college baseball. Did everybody just know that? Why didn't somebody, like... Why didn't Pratt come say, hey, Jeff... We saw what you did at North. Good
it's
year.
It's amazing how this tweaks you.
No, I like it's not else. That I'm tweaked. I'm curious. So give me an answer.
I don't know why. Because you left your junior year.
So I came
That's
back.
When players are recruited.
So they came to a game and said, well, he's a senior. That's dumb. Like, I could still go. I'm still going to college next
year. You were
at
your apex as a baseball player. Going into your junior year. And then you left and you played and you weren't happy and you came back and you weren't the same player. You were still good, but you didn't reach the capacity.
No, that was not a fun year.
You didn't reach your potential.
I got better as the year went along.
Had you stayed, you would have probably been at least a junior college player, more likely maybe even a small college player.
I don't know, maybe.
But, you know, these are things that were out of my control.
Sorry. Yeah, I wasn't in shape to start the year.
Meanwhile, I got the offer.
Good job.
And actually, more than an offer, I actually signed a letter with Cloud
County. Yeah, that doesn't sound like you at all to back out on a commitment.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Whatever you want it to
mean. Are you taking a shot?
I don't know, whatever you want it to
what
mean.
What does it mean, though? What went through your
brain?
Well,
you can't sign a letter of intent and then say no.
I called the coach, and I said, you know, I've decided. I've told this story.
I know you have.
I think it's more beneficial for me to pursue a career in journalism than it would be to go play baseball at Cloud County.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's pretty good awareness at a young age, right?
Yeah, you called him.
I got four other friends going to Cloud County, including my best friend. Man, that would have been fun. You know, no question it would have been fun. But I decided to hang out and stay here.
Here's why
Derby.
I couldn't have played at Wichita State under any circumstance. And I'm not saying I was good enough to do that. But you had to run a 6-minute mile to even get on the field. I would have never been able to run a 6-minute mile.
Oh, I think you would have.
Even when I was my best, I was like 7:20.
No, I think you could have figured that out.
I don't think I could have.
They could have made you figure that out.
How?
Because you would have had training and you would have had better... they've never had to not... Come on, man.
That's cutting off a lot of time on my mile.
Are you telling people you weren't a good athlete?
I was a pretty good athlete. I still think I'm a decent athlete.
Well, why couldn't you run?
Which is why I'm trying to get into some sort of shape.
What are you going to do with that? Turn into a...
I don't know.
An MMA guy? Or what?
I can do things. I'm not bad at swimming. I'm a decent little swimmer out there.
Really?
Not bad.
Who taught you to swim?
I don't know
was
who really.
That time we just dumped you in the ocean?
No, but we did almost drown.
Oh, that was funny.
In the ocean in 1994.
Wasn't there a time at a pool in Charlotte, North Carolina, where you had a little
not that I remember, but almost drowned in the Atlantic Ocean. And then after that, my mother tried to teach me to tread water at least, and then I just knew how to swim at some point. Just like I learned how to float on my back. I'm the best in the world at that.
The best in the world.
I don't think floating. There's anybody better at floating on their back than I am.
Well, whatever.
I don't know how. I never used to be able to do it, but now I just can, and I'm unbelievable at it. Is that a
how
skill?
How can you be unbelievable
That's
at floating?
What I'm asking, but, no. I like, but I'm like so good at it.
You can't be good at floating. There's nobody... There's no competition anywhere in the world.
You don't think.
The best floaters in the world have gathered in Daytona Beach. And, boy, wait till you see this.
I bet
there
is.
Oh, look at this guy float. No, there's never been anybody who cares about floating.
You don't think there's a water floating championship?
No, there's not.
Fin swimming? Does that count?
No. No, you said floating.
Yeah, I did. It seems like it's a skill because I never used to be able to do it. And now I just can. I have no idea.
I don't know. I've never heard anybody proud of their ability to float. I'm dismayed by it.
It's strange. I'm not denying that. But when you pick it up, just like I've 41 years I couldn't, now I can. It's crazy.
Well, good for you. And how's Shannon swimming?
She's all right. She doesn't like swim as much. She kind of floats around, hops around. I'm like doing strokes out there.
Really?
Yeah.
From one end of the pool to the other?
It's the family pool. It's not like Olympic size, but there's decent length out there at the Y. And yeah, I swim back and forth, do the little backstroke.
Well,
aren't
there other people in there?
Do a little butterfly. Yeah, but there's not that many.
Don't they look at you like you're some kind of
I don't care about all that.
What's this guy doing?
Just out there to get my stuff in.
Well, good for you.
Thank you.
Going tonight?
No.
Why?
I'm taking the night off. I'll watch the Shockers. Pool doesn't open from Tuesday through Thursday till 6:45.
I'll watch the Shockers tonight. I try to watch some.
I don't know if I'll watch it. I'm telling myself I will.
I will watch it until it's not watchable, if that happens. But I got Law and Order tonight, too, and Law and Order.
That's a big one. We're still catching up.
I can't get into Raw on Netflix, by the way.
Why not?
Won't let me fast forward. You know, when I recorded that show, you could just go right through it.
I don't believe that you can't jump on
Tuesday
morning and not fast forward.
You can't.
I don't believe that.
You can't.
There's no way that's true.
It's true.
I'll fast forward through it right now.
It's true. And I'm certainly not going to watch it live.
I don't have Netflix on my phone.
I got a feeling that's going to blow up on them.
Well, I think you're the only person on the planet who can't fast forward through the show. You can fast forward through every other show.
No, it won't let you.
I don't believe that.
Well, it's the truth.
It might be your truth.
I've tried. You drag that little red dot and... Then it goes right back. And
Are you dragging a dot instead of pushing the fast forward button?
Well, I don't know, though. I don't have a fast forward button.
Well, I'll go home tonight and I'll fast forward through Raw. But I already watched it, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I don't like it.
It's good. It's a good show.
Are we going to have a gathering for the Royal Rumble?
I assume. Why wouldn't we?
Well, I don't know. Nobody tells me anything.
Week from Saturday.
I got a big board retreat that morning.
Where to?
Just out to talk about things.
Usually when it's a retreat, you go somewhere, go off into the woods.
We're going out to an office building in East Wichita.
An indoor retreat.
Well, sure, it's February.
Am I invited?
Why would you be invited?
You are nobody
knows. What? Why would you ask that question?
for that response.
Well, I wish you had more involved.
For that reaction.
You know, I always have a need for coaches, but boy, crickets from you.
I coached a couple times.
Yeah, sorta. You were sort of a coach.
Well, I had a job in the summer that I really, really enjoyed and might still do again this year.
Right. But, you know,
I mean, I really, really enjoy doing that.
Yeah, well, I really, really enjoy being around young kids.
Then we're all happy.
And helping them instead of sitting up in a booth calling error 5.
Well, I enjoy the company. I enjoy the atmosphere. I enjoy the job. It's all good.
Are you invited back this year?
Of course I am.
Have you already made that happen?
We're supposed to meet soon to work out the schedule.
Really?
Yes.
They got a new manager down there at the Windsor.
Brian,
and a new name for the stadium.
Yes.
Equity Bank Stadium. What about my folks at Fidelity and Intrust and every bank in the world is going to have
that? I don't know. There was something in there about the pavilions, but I didn't delve too deeply into it.
What happened?
I don't know. I feel like everything's going to be named after Equity Bank now, but that might be completely inaccurate.
Well, we'll have to look into that.
And Eric Wedge is joining the Texas League.
Tulsa Drillers' new manager, Eric Wedge.
That's weird. It's not. I'm happy.
I didn't strike me as weird.
Very happy for him, but it's like, oh, this is a big league manager. Then he was a college head coach.
Trying to work his way back.
I hope he does. I'm very, very happy for him.
You know, just, I wish Eric Wedge would sit down with us for a one-hour interview, no holds barred. I'm going to ask him if he'll do that. I don't know if he will or not, but I'm going to ask him if he will, and all he can tell me is no.
Right.
Because it'd be fascinating for Eric to tell his story.
I agree.
And I don't know. Again, I'm not banking on that happening. He hadn't told it to anyone yet.
Well, it's a story that I think a lot of people would get a lot of value from.
So we'll see.
We will.
If we were able to make that happen, I would set aside a full hour.
Good enough for me.
And I'd ask Eric to come here and do that face-to-face. You could take the day off.
I think I could handle it. He's a intimidating guy on some levels. He's an intense person. Managed my favorite team to the ALCS where they lost.
Well, I mean,
but he's did a good job.
So what if he's an intense person?
Nothing. No, so what? Just that he is.
Yeah, he's fine. I've been around Eric Wedge a lot. I think I match his intensity.
Yeah.
You don't?
Not quite. Not quite.
Well,
Eric Wedge is intense in life. Like, you're not being intense right now. Eric Wedge would approach this show with intensity. And he might drop an F-bomb or two. Which is why we look
intense.
I mean, it's just like I'm so intense, like I'm overwhelmed.
You've got the complete
the intensity has taken over.
You are
over.
Scared to death of Eric Wedge.
No, I hope he comes
you
here.
You have been from the moment.
Scared?
Yes.
What would I be scared
Here's
of?
Here's what I remember. He came and did an interview with us at X Stadium. Do you remember this?
No.
We were outside and we were in the concourse there, and here comes Eric walking up, and boy, I don't know, man.
I'm sure I did wonderfully.
You started shivering. You were so scared.
Why do you have to put stuff out there like that? Like, that's not even close to true, but there is one guy listening. Oh, Jeff's afraid of Eric Wedge.
Well, maybe he'll spread that, and that'll become how you're known.
Tulsa's got to get a little Wichita connection going now with Dennis Higgins, Eric Wedge. Good for them.
I may go sit in with Dennis Higgins.
Yeah.
I did that when he was the Wranglers.
Like, he'll just let you do that?
He did then.
Well, you were somebody then.
What am I now?
I don't know what you are.
I'm not somebody?
You're somebody. I was just messing with you. But you're
That's
not.
That's always been tricky for you.
But you're not a newspaper columnist.
There you go. See?
So.
You got to get in that little. You're not.
Well, are you?
That's what you're most comfortable saying, those two words together. You're not, and then just fill in the blank.
Well, are you?
A what?
A newspaper columnist.
No.
We're speaking truths here. No, I'm not a newspaper columnist either. No one's ever asked me to come sit in.
Well, they have asked me.
Tim Grubbs has not asked me to sit in.
No. Yeah, and he
But
may,
I'm working over there.
And he may never do it.
He should.
And you know what Tim Grubbs would do?
What?
If I wasn't here on this station,
huh?
Because they're broadcast on another station.
Right.
He'd ask me to come and sit in.
Oh, come and sit in.
Do an inning. That's what he'd say. Do an inning, Bob.
Well, he leaves.
Here's the pitch. Ground ball to second.
Terrible. See,
how good was that?
That's just that's so formulaic. You got to bring something else to it.
Ground ball on three hops to second.
Three hops?
Yeah. Add a little description.
I suppose. They had a nice little, decent little intern broadcasting a lot of the games last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Out of New York.
All right, Max, let's get a break in. We have picks to make coming up next. We'll give you an update on how Jason Duda is still in really good position here to wrap it up. Max coming off to win for the week, but Duda did not suffer very much, even though his 10-point bonus pick failed.
I thought I won.
Back in a minute.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
All right, we're ready to make picks. We've got Anthony on the line. We've got Dudas picks here. They've been emailed to us. Right now, Jason Duda, with only 3 weeks left, has a 44-point lead over yours truly and a 46-point lead over you. I still hold the lead in picks, in games pick, but Duda is only 3 behind now. You're 7 behind, and Max is only 4 behind. We've all had pretty good years. Well, nobody's above 500.
Yeah.
But Anthony, Mike.
What's your record?
81 and 87. Due to 78 and 90, you're 74 and 94.
All right.
All right, here we go with picks.
Week 20.
Week 22. Wichita State on the road tonight to face the Memphis Tigers. Memphis, a 12.5-point favorite at home against Wichita State. Tough game. That sounds like a lot of points. But if Memphis is on and they're shooting the ball well, this is certainly attainable. I'm going to give Wichita State, come on. Keep it in single digits. Shockers for 3. Jeff?
I don't know why. I'm changing my pick, but I put too many points on this. I think Wichita State can keep it within the number. I'll stick with 5.
Max, Duda. Let's see what Duda has here. I'll get right to it.
No worries.
Gosh darn it. Did he text me or? No, he emailed. He has Wichita State for 1. Max, what about you?
I got a tip from Ted the Sports Ed who said take Memphis, so I'm taking Memphis to 6.
Wow.
Ted's
a
the
tip.
Man.
What was the tip?
What did he give you? What tip did he give you? We can't change now.
I asked him. I said, Ted, Memphis or Wichita State, 12.5 spread. Go Memphis.
Anthony, are you going to take up Ted Woodward?
No way in heck. No, I'm not taking up Ted Woodward. As a matter of fact, Wichita State got a little extra motivation. For the second year in a row, we're facing someone that used to play for us, Kobe Rogers. We got a little extra motivation. And we beat them last year in the tournament on their home court. So I say we keep it within the numbers. I'm dropping a 6th spot.
Wow. Very confident. Houston and Kansas, two highly ranked teams in the Big 12 coming up Saturday evening at Allen Fieldhouse. That's going to be a lot of fun. KU, I'm favoring by 1.5. Jeff.
Interesting. I wonder what this line will be. It could be that low. Maybe
Houston's favored.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. That's why I've picked Houston. And I've picked Houston for 1 big point.
But I'm pretty good at doing lines, you have to admit.
Not bad.
Duda has the Cougars for 2. No, people are scared of this one. Max, are you?
Nah, KU's at home, so I'll take KU for 1. They can do it at Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah, that's only 1. That means you're a little scared of this pick, and that's fine. You should be. Anthony, what do you think?
I'm going to be a gambling man on this one. You talk about KU at home, but they lost to West Virginia, too. Remember that? 1.5 points.
I do remember that.
I'm going to give my vote to Houston. Houston ain't scared of nobody. They proved that last year. And they're going to come in to Allen Fieldhouse, and they're not going to be afraid of the fog and none of that good stuff. So I'm going to lay 5 on Houston.
I'm in agreement. I think Houston is a better team than Kansas. I'm going Houston for 2. Again, Anthony going more points than the rest of us.
He feels good about it.
Now let's get to the NFL. We've got the conference championship games coming up on Sunday. We'll start in the NFC, the Commanders and the Eagles in Philadelphia, where the Eagles are giving 6.5 points. Jason Duda picks Washington for 8. How about that? Max?
Well, Hurts is doubtful with his knee. Goddard has a knee injury, but I think the Washington can keep it within the 6.5, so I'll take Washington for 4.
What about you, Anthony?
Yeah, from a Dallas Cowboy fan, I'm kind of liking this Washington team. And Jalen Hurts, I don't even think he's 100% healthy, so they can stack the box for the run. So, yeah, I'm playing 4 on the Commanders.
This was such a tough game. Saquon Barkley is such an X factor here. We talk about what Jalen Hurts can and can't do. We know what Saquon Barkley can do. He can go out and win it virtually by himself.
He can do a lot.
This is where the bubble bursts. I love Washington. I really do. I love watching Jaden Daniels. When they build up this team around him, it's going to be amazing. I don't think they're quite ready here. Can they keep it within a touchdown? Maybe, but I'm going to pick Philadelphia for 5. Jeff?
I don't know how you can say a team's not ready when they've gone on the road a couple times and won already, and Jaden Daniels looks every bit of the part. It's America's team right now, the Commanders. They're going to be Jeffrey's team as well. Give me Washington for 6.
You started to say 8.
No, I started
to go with it.
I didn't say 8.
Over-under points in this game. Now, weather obviously means a lot, but it looks like there'll be much better weather in Philadelphia this week than there was last. 47.5 points is the over-under. Max, what do you have?
Because of their injuries, Philadelphia will struggle to score. I think I'm going to go under for 3 in this game. It's going to be close.
Under for 3 for Max. What about you, Anthony?
It's kind of tough. 47.5. I'm going to say over, but my confidence is only on 2.
2? Okay. I kind of feel you. Over-under is always difficult. You play those numbers in your brain. I see this being a Philadelphia win, 28-20, but that's right on the number. So what do I do?
What do you do?
I got to go over, but only for 1. Jeff?
I don't know if Philly's going to get to 28. I don't know. Maybe they will. Washington's defense wasn't super great, but they made some plays last week. I will go with the over because Washington can score and they don't turn it over for 4.
And Duda has the over for three. All right.
The Commanders next, have to, the third most cap space next year, Bob. So they can spend.
Yeah, they're gonna. I can't. They're gonna be phenomenal. I can't wait to see what they build. They can dominate the NFC. Buffalo and Kansas City in Arrowhead Stadium Sunday evening. The Chiefs are a 2.5 point favorite. We start here with our good friend Anthony. What do you think, Anthony?
If there's a year that the Buffalo Bills can get it done, this will be the year. But the Chiefs are used to this type of environment. I mean, it's tough. This is a tough one to call. But I'm going to go ahead and roll with the Chiefs. I'm going to drop 7 on the Chiefs.
Whoa. You surprise us with how much you struggle on some of these games, and then you put a big number on them.
It is odd.
But that's what we love about you. I think I've seen this act, and this is a really good Buffalo team, obviously. I don't think it's their best team, and I think Kansas City at home is not going to relinquish this. They're headed to the Super Bowl, Kansas City for 8. Jeff?
Yeah, a lot of people, Jim Rome included, have been talking about, you know, you got to beat the Chiefs. They're not going to beat themselves. They're not going to make mistakes. If anybody can come in and beat Kansas City, it's Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. But until they do it, I'm not going to pick them. Kansas City for 7.
And Max, how many points are you putting on your Buffalo Bills?
You passed over Duda. 8.
Oh, Duda. Buffalo for 7 for Duda.
Nice. Wow.
The refs will probably try to save him, but Josh Allen for 8. Goodbye.
Ooh.
Poor Max. Just straps himself. He'd probably be winning this if he'd not missed so many Chiefs games.
Could be.
They never covered.
Let's get to the specialty picks. Mahomes and Allen, over under 475 passing yards. That's a lot of yards, but the weather's going to be good, at least much better than it was last week. I start with this one. They're going to have to pass. I like the over here for 4. Jeff?
Yeah, I think Josh Allen is great, but I think Buffalo is at their best when they're running the ball. He's creating. So I'm going to take the under for 3.
Under for 3. Let's see here. Duda has under for... Let me make sure here. Under for 5. Max?
I'm on the opposite side of Duda. I have the over for 5.
And Anthony, it's a tie right now. 2 over, 2 under. Who you going with?
I didn't know if Patrick Mahomes had a game passable over 300 yards yet this season. Because they're going to tell a whole lot. Yes. They haven't been that often, though. So, but I'm going to go out and on them. This is the bonus pick, right?
Yeah. No, the bonus pick is the running back touchdown total.
Are we doing the point total, Bob, now, or the passing?
Passing total.
What?
Oh, because I had...
Yeah, passing yards.
Oh, well, then I had it for 2. I had the over for 2. I thought we were doing the... Because in the
I'm
order...
I'm going to go...
Well, you picked Houston
over
for 2.
Oh. No, well, I didn't.
What are you doing? Yes, you did.
I picked KU for 1.
Oh, that's right. Hold
you
on.
You good?
Oh, I wrote them out of order here.
Yeah, see, that's why I was confused.
Okay. What's your pick, Anthony?
I'm going to take the over for 1 on the passing.
Okay.
Ball.
All right, let's get on to Saquon Barkley, who's been a terror all season. I've got the over-under in his rushing yards at 115. 115 yards rushing, which would be below his game average for the year. Jeff?
Over 8. Pretty, wow. Pretty easy one, I think.
Duda's going under for 6. What about you, Mac?
He'd have to break his leg to go under. I'm going Barkley over for 7.
Anthony?
Y'all got me in a tough position here. I want to say over, but I want to say under. I think the Commanders is going to be keyed in on him, especially if some of the other weapons are hurt, because we don't know what Jalen Hurts is, because he tweaked something last week. Dallas Goedert is hurt, so all they can do is run the ball. That means Washington can key in on the run. I'm going to go under for 7.
Doesn't matter what you do to key in on the run. This guy's going to break at least one big one. And that's 50 or more yards. And then he only needs – this is so easy. You guys are overthinking this. Saquon Barkley over for 7. Finally, here is our bonus pick, right? Have we gotten to that point yet?
No,
have
you didn't
I missed
do the,
something?
The point total.
Oh, I didn't do over-under for Buffalo-Kansas City.
Yeah, the point total.
I need to go back and clean that up. 47.5 points. Jeff?
What did we pick? What over-under did we pick?
47.5 points. We picked Washington-Philadelphia. Make the pick, man.
And passing yards, right?
Make the pick.
I don't know what I picked. Under for either 2 or 3, whichever one I have left.
You have 2 left.
2, then.
Duda picks under for 4.
Okay.
Max.
Let's see. I had the over for 5 on that one.
Over for 5 for Max. Anthony?
Over for 3.
Over for 3. I like over here. I like over for 6. Finally, the bonus pick. 5.5 touchdowns, over under, running backs, scoring, rushing the football. Rushing the football.
Has to be a running back. Can't right. be Josh Allen.
Has to be a running back scoring touchdowns both games. 5.5 touchdowns, the over-under. Anthony, we'll start with you.
And this is the bonus one right here, huh? And you say over, you say 5. I don't see that happening, so I'm going to go under for 8.
Wow. You got Saquon, you got Pacheco, you got
James Cook.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes.
Brian Robinson.
Allen, you got Jaden Daniels.
Well, he's not included in this.
That's what
right.
he's saying.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
5.5 touchdowns. Doesn't seem like that many, does it?
It's 3 a game.
I think I got to go under for my bonus, and I'm going to go 10.
Same.
And so
under for 10.
Why'd I go over?
Then put me over for 10.
No, you already picked it.
What? Come on.
No. Why? If
I wrote down over for 10, I just.
No, you did. Let me see.
Look. Last one.
No.
Come on.
Why'd you pick under then? If you wrote down
6 is a lot of touchdowns, and it doesn't count for quarterbacks.
Right.
To run it in.
Right.
And Josh Allen's going to run one in.
I should have made that 4.5.
And Jaden Daniels is going to run one in.
Oh, well.
What are you going to do?
All right. There you go. Anthony, always a pleasure. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right. I'm over for 5, and I don't know what Duda picked.
You're over for 5, Mac.
We did forget that one.
What's Duda?
All right. Duda picked under for 10.
He's always on 10.
He always goes 10.
Yeah, I think you crossed out the wrong one. We'll figure it out.
We'll get it going.
Yeah, who cares?
Love this song from Ace. They had an ace here, but a lot of bogeys after that.
How long?
How long from Ace.
That was their only one, huh?
Did you get me on the ace versus bogeys?
No.
You know what an ace is in golf?
Yeah.
You know what a bogey is?
I sure do.
Beautiful correlation. Didn't seem to hit home with you at all.
No, not really.
Why is that?
Where's ace from?
I don't know.
They're not American, are they?
Think they are. Why wouldn't they be?
Well, there's a lot of non-American bands.
I don't know if they are or not.
They're
actually.
British.
Really?
Yeah.
They still active?
No, I don't know.
You never know about these bands.
They had enjoyed moderate success in the 1970s. No, they're not still going. They stopped in 1977, but they did give us Paul Carrick, who's in the Eagles family tree.
Yeah, barely. You could shake that tree and he'd fall out of it.
Fine, but he's in it.
Fine. He co-wrote what?
Love Will Keep Us Alive and I Don't Want to Hear Anymore.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway, we've had a good day on the show today. We appreciate our guest, Jeff Calkins from the Memphian. Always enjoy. I have some fascination with Memphis and their plight in today's world of college athletics. And Tim Fitzgerald from GoPowerCat.com. K-State with a tough loss last night on the road at Baylor. As we talked about with Fitz, we've got the Shockers tonight. So there you go.
That's it. That's the docket.
All right, Max, thank you for everything. We will be back tomorrow for a Friday. See you then.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Diamond Dynasty has all new red diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.